Dudes and Vibes podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Dudes and Vibes podcast. Dudes and Vibes.
CM Punk's old song. Nobody remembers it because it was just some metal yelling. It's another week of CM Punk song. Don't do it. Don't do it, Julie.
Very mad about
that. Oh, sorry. You want me to... Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm a Halman guy, Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the best in the wig, Danielle Radford.
Thank you. Thank you. New wig today. And also for everyone, Hal was not making fun of Cult of Personality. It was whatever song.
No, it was the old one, the one before.
You know what?
This fire burns.
I did Cult of Personality. Yeah, you knew the name of it. You didn't just look it up.
Julian might have. Let's be
he
fair.
He did not. You did not know that, Julian.
No, I 100% did because I'm a huge fan of Cult of Personality. And there's a very weird contingent of wrestling Twitter that says This Fire Burns is better than Cult of, which they are wrong.
I don't agree with that at all.
They also prefer Red Vine.
And it's also like Cult of, well, hold on.
Don't do it.
We'll do that for a We Got This. Have me come on. And
we already did.
Well, and Red Vine was the winner because Twizzler sucked my dick.
Nope.
Trash.
A candy that will suck your dick? That's the winner every time. Thank you for making yet another argument for why Twizzlers would win. We also have the Kelk of Personality, Lindsay Kelk.
I feel like I'm such a letdown now.
I mean, come on, that song is
That's the good
amazing.
One, is Cult
it
of Personality.
It is the good one. I mean, so it's so synonymous now.
Yeah, and it fits him, and they came and they played it, and they're all black.
Did.
Don't
Everyone
at
was
me.
Happy.
Yeah.
They are black men. Black men. You
that
let
band
them
is great.
Do that.
Was it the Glamour Boys? That was another great one.
The Glamour Boys.
The Glamour Boys.
Had it all under control.
It really is too early.
But it's Friday. We
I
did
no
it.
Glamour Boy. I'm fierce. Yeah. I know a lot of Living Color.
I love it.
That's how I got into metal.
It's a great band.
Because black dudes did it. And
they're
I was
awesome.
Like, huh.
That's right.
Hey, no glamour boy. Okay, I'm done.
I like that your version is any better as the lead singer.
You know what?
No glamour boy.
Look, every time I do any kind of metal or any kind of grunge, it all just becomes Eddie Vedder at a certain point.
It's Pacific Northwest in the house. You know?
My bush becomes Eddie Vedder. Like, there's just nothing I can do about it.
Interlight.
I don't want to come back down from this. They all become Eddie Vedder. There's nothing I can do.
Well, the reason we made this move to Fridays is so you got early morning versions of all three of us.
And not just so that you can hear me sing songs weirdly.
We can sing songs in the style of Eddie Vedder.
And also, secondarily, is that a word?
It is now.
Okay, good. It's been blessed. We can do NXT and AEW Dynamite in a more timely manner.
Yes.
That's what this is about.
Yay. So we're not going to cover, just so we're clear, we're not going to cover the one that we didn't get to cover from last week.
We're going to talk about what happened this past Wednesday.
That's right, you guys. So we're warping forward.
Warping. In fact, let's jump into AEW's Dynamite. Main event was Jon Moxley versus Darby Allin in what I thought for a second was a body bag match. But just
put him in a body bag.
If you put him in a body bag and you start kicking him, isn't that considered a foreign object? Like, we're getting fast and
really
loose.
I was really confused if it was a body bag or a suit carrier. I wasn't sure.
Well, it does have his name on it, so we can see it when it comes through baggage claim at the airport.
I'm sorry. That's my bag. That's my Darby. You've got my Darby in it.
See how it's moving?
I was going to say they're not made of money, but they are. So that's how they afford to fly, people.
Yeah, they got con cash.
In the olden days, you pretended to be going home for a funeral, so you would get a cheap flight if you were a wrestler. And now you just have to travel in a body bag.
I'm sorry. We're all going to the most jacked funeral ever, all 20 of us.
My favorite wrestle stories.
They all get in the bags like, so they pull the zipper up and then push them down to the chute.
Poor hardcore Holly is just always the one in the bag, but they wind up having to split fare between the two of them.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. He also gets the rollaway couch.
And they stay at the Undertaker's like it's the beginning of True Grit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to kiss him, that'd be all right. What do we think about Moxley versus Darby Allin? Darby Allin seems to be positioned as... as the babyface who just won't die. I mean, he's obviously a from the hardcore kind of school in some of the matches he's been featured in. But
from
he
Seattle,
really
baby.
Showed a lot of fire. And I think they had a really good, strong match. I like the way it started out of the gate with Allen attacking him before the bell. It was just a nice... It didn't feel like anything particularly new, but it felt like it was really well executed. What did you both think?
I thought, for want of a better description, given that it's still so new, that this was like very AEW. Mm. I was like, oh, yeah. I suddenly feel like this is what this is.
You know what? That is a really good description, because it felt very much like... Because you said it's not very new.
Right.
But we are at a point now where it is starting to like establish a style. And so while it didn't feel like it was like the most brand new thing I've ever seen, I wasn't sick of it because I haven't seen it a million times. But it does start to feel like, okay, we're settling into what this is going to start really looking like.
You could say it's one of those things, it's hard to define, but I know it when I see it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that what this is? Or,
it is,
or do you think
but
you
I
could
think
confidently...
Because like, it's not hardcore, even though obviously they do that.
They
but
do
it's
that, yeah.
like... It's more of an American strong style, I guess. Like, there's more of a beatdown element.
Yes,
right.
There's a lot more threat to it than I would expect from a WWE match. You know, it's like, I genuinely feel like at any AEW match that someone could die.
Yeah.
And this match for me was that. It had the Mox threat, and he is really shining through. I mean, he really is. He's doing incredible work.
Kinda
and we
weird.
All know how much I fucking hated Dean Ambrose. But
that
I
is
don't
a true story.
Hate Mox. I called him the C word on this very pod.
Right.
And like slightly
version.
Behind his back when he was in the room.
You hated the version of him that was presented.
Turns out, yeah.
In WWE.
Turns
this
out
is him.
I was a fool. But no, I think he still might be a massive arsehole in real life. But like, I'm really enjoying his work here.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, is a person who was better off. He had moments of a very good run in WWE, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You can look back and see the list of accomplishments and say
he
was successful.
Yeah, you could objectively say
but,
he was a successful wrestler.
But
he has like millions.
He's found a new gear when he's given agency, when he's not controlled in the same way. Are there wrestlers, conversely, that you feel benefit from that type of control and packaging, that it has made them better than they would have been if they were just allowed to do it on their own?
Yeah, I mean, that has to be, I think.
I mean, Undertaker, like, that was kind of all Vince's idea, right? So
this is it. And I think you are going to see, if we broke down literally everyone who's come through NXT, especially when you listen to interviews with the wrestlers, there'll be a lot of them who come in and say, like, I was really floundering or I didn't know what to do. And then, I mean, RIP, but a lot of them will say, like, I worked with Dusty and he packaged me and put me together and he helped me figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think there will be people who will say that.
I would offer Roman Reigns as a guy who they think, look, you obviously, when you micromanage and script everything for someone, it's not going to be authentic.
No, and that's the difference.
His in-ring work kept getting better and better.
Yes.
And I don't know that he would be the star that he is there anywhere else.
No.
Merely because they, even when the crowd was rejecting him, they never stopped. And sometimes that's annoying, but sometimes I think it's too... WWE's credit that they're like, you're looking at 0.5 of 10 points and expecting us to be at 0.10.
I
agree. And you're going to have to wait.
But also, I do think that Roman Reigns was a special circumstance.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. That is one of those ones where you look back and you go, oh, okay, like, maybe they would have taken more time. Maybe there would have been more of that instead of just, like, this guy has to be over right now had there not been extenuating circumstances.
That's one of my favorite things about wrestling, that we see that in real time. Like, we watch
people are literally
develop and people try things.
We're literally watching people brainstorm and workshop stuff in real time. And that's kind of, as creators, as all of us kind of here in this room and in the booth, like, that is exciting to see.
Yeah, you see like what happens when Matt Hardy's left alone, when people like the New Day are left alone, when Breezango are left alone, when they're pushed down, like that's where
when no one cares and they can do whatever they want.
You get yourself over.
Mm-hmm.
And they got themselves, I love what you just did with your bangs, and you got yourselves, they got themselves over.
I haven't had bangs in a while, so I'm like,
so pretty.
I'm just, for everyone, you'll see it in the picture. So, you know how people do that thing after a breakup where they're like, I'm going to change my hair. I have wigs for that. My hair is fine. So I threw on one of my wigs that actually looks almost exactly like my old hair used to. I am wearing a wig with the bangs, and I haven't had bangs in a while, and so it's
you're playing
with it. It's more lustrous than Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It's real big hair, guys. You'll see it.
Before anybody on Facebook or on Twitter starts commenting about it. I'm not being a WWE apologist. We talk so much about the Katie Vicks that I think sometimes we forget that there are also Matt Hardy V1s. That there's not as much wiggle room. That is, it is in a oppressively controlled system.
And weirdly, it's like
there's room for people to build themselves up, and you see who would have maybe been able to make it on their own.
Well, and it's like they talk about that thing about the U.S. presidency where they're like, it's the most glamorous prison sentence of all time because, like, you know, you're at the top of the world, but, like, you can't just go and do whatever you want whenever you want.
Right.
You can't just leave, even though, like, TV shows like Scandal will make you think you can. I think it's the same thing with WWE. When you start to get really pushed over and they invest in you and you become, like, your name is on the truck and all of this stuff, you have way less freedom. You have more money.
Yeah.
And you have more opportunities to go do stuff, but you have way less freedom than these guys who are way down on the card who can just, like, kind of dick around and, like, see what works and have fun.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about the women.
Yes, please. Let's talk about women.
Hikaru Shida beat Britt Baker to get another shot at Riho.
Oh, I really liked this match.
It's a really fun match. Really good.
Great showing by Britt. Again, just this is why one of the problems I have with the AEW women's division is that very often it is cool indie chick who hasn't been doing a lot or who's been working really hard but isn't like a vet or who doesn't have a lot of experience versus the same. And so, like, that's one of those reasons why I'm like, why isn't a Mercedes on the... Because when you go against someone who is so good, it lifts everyone else up. And this was a fantastic match. Britt did a great job.
Yeah. And we, you know, you say what you like about WWE and their performance center and their bringing people up and making everyone be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about the performance center is you are practicing every single day. You are wrestling against your peers every single day, getting better every single day. In WWE, if you're not on TV, you're on a house show, you are wrestling all the time. And I think that's been a real issue with AEW, that it's one show a week. And not everyone's on that show. Not everyone is getting to wrestle all the time.
Right, and there's, like, dark matches, but also a lot of people are locked into contracts now.
Exactly. Right. It's like, they're not going to get better. No one, men and women, that are, like, coming up are not going to get better until they are wrestling more. I've said before, I really like Britt Baker. I think she has all the ingredients there to be a huge star, but her matches haven't been overwhelming the last few weeks, I would say, because I just want more. I want that extra edge off of her, and I really enjoyed it this week.
Absolutely, and I think that, and I'm sure that there are some people who are taking that on their own to do it, but I think if you're a company that's starting out, maybe provide a place for that so people aren't kind of, like, hunting around and being like, well, when can you be like, no, like, these are the days of the week, we're all doing this, and we're all going to be in these rings, and we're all going to, like, we're going to work on skills we don't have, we're going to actually get in here, and you do it that way in a safe way, where it's like you're not trying to, like, do it for the audience. You're just trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea. But, you know, what do I know? Nothing.
The Inner Circle continues to dominate Dynamite. First, we got to see Phoenix beat Nick Jackson in singles action. Very enjoyable match.
Nick Jackson, I don't know that I've seen him in singles very often. That was really fun.
It's been years, right?
I think they said something like, out of 6 years.
Didn't he say it was something
like
1,600 days or something insane on Twitter? Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, I love the Bucks, but, like, sometimes you forget that, like, individually, they're really
super
good.
Talented.
Because so much of what they are is, like, we're the Bucks, and this is what we do.
Yeah,
and, like,
stereo,
this is our
super kick. Yay!
Yeah. But, like, watching him in a singles match was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. It was something new and different and fresh. And
it felt like it almost took away the meta of that the Young Bucks have. Not that I see that in every single match of theirs that I've seen, which is a small data set.
Well, and they have not been as meta the Bucks on TV as they are.
Because when they're not doing twinsy things, I know they're not twins, but when they're not doing, like, you know, planned step choreographed things, they're forced to show you how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out they're real good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, really good. The entire sequence that took them outside the ring, then back inside the ring, countering one another, ending with the double drop kick was really, really, really nice. Again, good storytelling. That's another thing they've managed to work into a majority of their matches, and this was no different. But then we got to see SCU book a match between Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho. Scorpio, of course, the only person to notch a pinfall victory over Jericho in his time in AEW. He's otherwise undefeated, and undefeated as a single star.
That whole promo thing was great.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Chris Jericho is, as cranky as we might be at him at the moment, he's really good at what he does.
He just seems to be so enjoying himself.
I enjoy his work in the wrestling ring, and I don't want to meet all my heroes. Put it that way.
But you do want to. Here's my thing. Like, I'm very much like, you gotta be consistently shitty. That was like a shitty thing that I hated, but he hasn't been like, it's bad.
So he's a troll. Like, Chris is a troll.
Look, I'm not saying he's a bad person.
Like, you know,
I'm just a little bit.
I listened to you guys last week. I was in London walking around my own, like a sad lady. It wasn't sad. I was having a
It was raining.
You're having great.
It was raining.
You had your London fog jacket.
I was, but I was like trying to be Christmassy and it was exciting. Except London was like, no, too early. And I was like, fuck you. So I was listening to you guys walking around and I was like, Jericho, Chris, honey, it made me sad that it made you sad. And I only want Chris
really
to
sad.
Make us happy.
Especially you, Hal, because, like, you're...
Yeah.
You've been, like him and The Miz doing anything wrong, like, the first thing I think of is, like, oh, Hal.
And I've met The Miz.
You have?
I met and worked with him. He was fine. He was very nice.
And he was fine. The greatest compliment we can pay
Who
any
knows?
Professional wrestler.
We can't do anything more than that now, because as soon as we do, wrestling is sad.
Luchasaurus returned, stared Jake Hager out of the ring.
I was so glad
then,
to see him back so soon.
Then destroyed
I was so
the librarian.
Worried.
So good. Yeah, he looks great. Boy, are we all crazy for him. He looks like an action figure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This
in person, he is so tall. So I did this, what was it? It was like some Democrats, please don't lose the midterms or something. It was really
That's
good.
That's a great song. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I actually wish I knew the name of it because it was actually really fun and I was very happy to participate. There was some comedians. I was one of the stand-up folks and then there was some wrestlers and it was filled with hipsters who were very unfamiliar with all of those things. Luchasaurus told me he thought I was funny and then he went and did his wrestling stuff and all the hipsters were chanting dinosaur, so I kept having to be like, Luchasaurus. But
dinosaur.
So I know.
Oh.
Well, they don't. Well, they, I mean,
it's adorable, but it's also so indicative.
And better.
We're just going to chant dinosaur because we didn't care to learn his name.
Yeah. But even though they say it right in the beginning, he is very tall. And again, this is one of those things where it's like, he does not know who
that
I am.
That was a line that once worked for me. So I say, shoot your shot, Danielle.
No, I can't do it.
Hello, you're very tall.
He is.
It does work. It does.
Very, very. Like, and so it really puts into perspective like Marco and like Jungle Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the librarians reading books about dinosaurs? Come on, you guys. Come on.
It's great.
It was
books
so cute.
Good.
Books are good. Well,
we
they
like
were
books.
Studying.
Yeah.
I love everything.
Yeah, yeah. Good character.
That's one of those where I'm like, look, Jurassic Express already has my whole ass heart. There's
sure.
nothing can be done about it. But yeah, I loved it.
Speaking of tag teams, Private Party defeats Proud and Powerful.
All the P's.
What a great match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Just made
great.
Me happy.
It's
just
great.
The whole thing.
It's great.
Isn't
Loved it
weird when you just have to be like, yeah, wasn't it good?
Let's
yeah,
it
was good.
There's nothing,
yeah.
yeah. Like, no, it was really, I had a really fun time. It was a great match. I like both of those teams. Yay.
You know what occurred to me? Is
I don't know what else to
Julia's an outside. You're like, just like, you guys say something else other than it was good.
No,
people
we can't.
People will be so confused.
I'm sorry. We're trying. Look, I'm sure we have criticisms about everything, but like, just let me bask in just liking most of what we watch.
I
man.
Got something. Proud and Powerful is a dumb name.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay. There we go.
We found something.
No, but I get what they're doing.
I get what they're doing.
I just
doing.
Call them Santana and Ortiz. That's fine.
Does it feel like... I was thinking
well,
about this.
Well, I am not Latinx, Julian, so I am going to call them the name that they want. You can shame your brethren if you want to.
Yeah.
That song sucks. I'm so bad.
A lot of the entrance music is
it
terrible.
Is
yeah, that is one. We'll get there because they gotta hire
they
somebody.
They do need to talk to Jim Johnson.
I think like, the CFO dollar sign is like no longer at WWE, right?
Or I got a galaxy brain take that they should do. They are very good friends with I want to say his name is Toby Fox, who created the video game Undertale.
Hmm.
Get him to make the music because he's an outstanding musician.
Or just everything be Fozzy.
Yeah.
No. Judas is all the way
that's
down.
That's the worst part of the whole show is I will sit there and go like, duh, duh, duh. I'm like, oh my God, I suddenly, am I a Fozzy fan now?
You're a Fozzy fan now.
I'm kombucha girl about that song every time it comes on. I'm like, no. Well, no. No. I'm like, I can't decide. I'm like, do I suddenly love Fozzy?
If I get married, it's going to be to Judas.
It's a great tune. It's a good tune.
I have two of their albums. I have two of their albums.
I'm sorry. Judas is a bop.
Are we all coming out as Fozzy fans?
Judas is a bop. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
I feel, I was thinking about this recently about AEW, is the signature matches to me have been almost primarily, like, a lot of good matches across the board, but the ones that feel like they're signature matches have by and large been tag matches versus singles.
Well, they've said that they're putting a huge, huge
absolutely
emphasis on their tag stuff. Yeah.
Granted, it's just odd to me to think, like, is there, to me, their signature match so far has been, I mean, you can do any of the SCU matches, but I really liked Private Party versus the Young Bucks.
That
felt like
so
a
good. I mean, that
signature.
Was
like, if you want to see
insanity.
what they mm-hmm. what this promotion is about, watch that match.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm.
And don't watch anything with thumbtacks. Yeah.
Stop bending people's fingers, Darby Allin. I don't like it. You too, Pete Dunne. I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I don't like it.
I do like the skateboarding, though. It makes me think he's cool.
I do like that.
See, that's one of the, because I have hitchhiker's thumb, so that was, like, one of the only reasons why I thought, like, maybe I could do, like, wrestling, because it's like, oh, it would look really realistic if you bend my thumb back.
Too.
It looks gross. Oh, you have hitchhiker's thumb, too!
I don't
know
that, but I could
that
do, like, the
thing.
Make it kind of out of joint.
Yeah, no,
like
it's
that.
A thing. Like, it's,
well, what do you know?
Apparently not everyone's thumb goes back that far.
Mine goes so far back.
No, I can't
Mine
do
and Danielle's thumbs go so far back,
that,
you guys.
I did this.
That's
and
why
if
we're
you're
friends.
Listening to this at home and you are not currently checking how far back your thumb leans, you're a liar.
The knuckle.
We've all got weird thumbs. Welcome to Tights and Fights, a podcast where we discuss thumbs with
thumbs and fights.
Sincerity and
this is another episode of Thumb Wrestling.
1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. My name is Danielle Radford.
All right, we're going to briefly talk about NXT because if I haven't seen Julian move his arm around yet, but he's going to tear a rotator
cuff.
He is
mostly just looking at his phone. I don't want to say
millennial. Are you on Snapchat? You on TikTok? You making a TikTok over there? All right, let's talk about NXT. The battle of the brands continued with Becky Lynch taking on Rhea Ripley and Matt Riddle beating Ricochet. Also, we got to see Undisputed Era beat The Revival and then Adam Cole beat Dominik Dijakovic in a ladder match for control of War Games. But throughout, the brands, they were a-fightin'.
Yes!
Thank goodness. I'm grateful that Survivor Series is on Sunday because I'm done.
I'm exhausted.
I'm done with people in t-shirts look like they got at a company picnic. Just so that
they
everybody at home
like,
can go, all right, I remember. For the Raw and SmackDown, you need it because who can remember who's on which friggin' show?
Well, just a question. For white family reunions, do they give y'all all matching t-shirts?
Sometimes.
Oh, my family will hate each other, so that's never going
to
happen.
I've seen it before. And then, like, when they take trips to Disneyland, my family, no.
Yeah, because, like, black family reunions, they give you all t-shirts, and it's got, like, the primary last name, and then all of the secondary last names around it, almost like, so that's what it reminds me of. It just reminds me of, like, different family reunions, like, coming together
lot,
and beating each other up.
Yeah.
I like it when people personalize them by cutting them up somehow.
Yeah.
Like,
I made a belly shirt out of it.
Yeah. I liked Kyrie's Nikki Bella outfit, her cosplay.
I know, that's so good. I love Mad Kyrie.
And also, I'm sorry,
furious
that,
Kyrie.
That moment was amazing.
Yeah.
It was such a great moment.
It was so beautiful. It was like when you run into your ex at the grocery store and no one knows what to say.
Right, and just like shocked, like, what are you, but you're evil now. And they didn't hit each other. It was
like,
just
we're
like
both evil. Kyrie's response to me, like, yes, we're both evil. was the greatest
was
thing
so
ever.
Good.
And then she just let Sarah Logan kick her in. Also, can we just take a moment and say how amazing Dana Brooke looks?
Oh my God.
Hello, Dana Brooke, my queen.
Oh my God. Like that. And that was what I loved about Dana Brooke was that, like, she does all the cartwheels and stuff. And I feel like that's what they thought that they were going to be able to lean on. But no, Dana Brooke is a bruiser.
Yeah.
Let
badass.
Her bruise.
Let her kick the shit out of something, please.
Yeah.
Right. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. And hey, Instagram while you're at it. Julian's probably on there right now. And you can find those via the links in our show notes. We'll be back after a break to talk about the return of CM Punk. This is Tights and Fights.
Hi. Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, mm-hmm. you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
Have you been to MaxFunStore.com lately? Because we've just launched a ton of new merch for a bunch of your favorite shows. You want a patch? We've got it. Tote? Mug? Stickers? We got those too. Heck, we've even got a onesie for your favorite baby. Now is the time to start holiday shopping for the MaxFun fans in your life, including yourself. That's MaxFunStore.com.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kalk.
He was called the straight edge savior, the voice of the voiceless, the best in the world, CM Punk. Suck it up, Kalk. Now that he's officially back under the WWE umbrella, we're going to take a look at his wrestling career. This is our main event.
Whoa! Oh, holy shit! I don't need to put
this thing
in there.
So, apologies, some feral cats just got into the studio.
I like when two cats don't like each other and they start getting up on their hind legs like cartoons.
Oh, yeah. My cats do it every night. That's
like
why I have them.
Like Frankenstein's?
Like, they fight every night at around 9:30.
And they walk around they're drunk babies. Yeah. Like,
and they go, Anderson, like, will rear his hand back at, like, the patriarchy trying to put his paw on Belle Belle's head. And she'll be like, no. And then
don't
she'll
condescend
like,
to me.
Savage him. Yeah, it's great.
Anyway. What comes to mind when you think about CM Punk? Danielle, we'll start with you.
It is the most stereotypical thing, but, like, the pipe bomb is what brought me back to wrestling because yeah. I missed most of Ruthless Aggression because it was just so... Looking back, it's definitely like obviously it was the treatment of the women, and it went from like China was one of the reasons I got into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I still watch her Intercontinental, like that run up. I'll still watch that like once a year because it's amazing.
Sure.
And so just what happened with the women during that era and like the diva search, and so when it just became bra and panties and which one of them can get into Playboy and who's gonna rub their nipple on Vince's face the longest on TV.
Stop it.
Yeah,
I like it.
That was like part of the reason why I stopped really watching. And so when the pipe bomb happened, I was in a relationship at the time with someone who was very like a sports guy. I always seem to like, not this last one, but tended attract a lot of sports dudes.
Nice.
Like I like sports. I like sports and I like sad white man music. And so, because they were sad white men.
You did meet my brother at the wedding.
I did.
Okay, just checking. He loves the National. Like, loves them. Mountain goats, yes, please.
Yes, please. And so I... like was watching, he was watching like something on whatever. I think it was like Around the Horn or one of those. Around the Horn. And someone brought that up and I was like, they know this is fake, right? And then I saw that Jim Rome was fully worked and like was like, oh, it, for someone as part of that company, you know, wrestling is fake, but this is real. I was like, I have to watch this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm still a wrestling fan. I know it's a work, but I was like, he worked Jim Rome. They worked ESPN. They worked SportsCenter. I have to watch it. And so then I went back and I watched it and I was like, all right, I can watch wrestling again. And like, that was what brought me back in.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's sort of the prototypical CM Punk. And then all the way through his huge title reign. We'll go through his career. But
mm-hmm.
Lindsay?
It was when I saw his butt at Survivor Series 2011.
When you saw his butt?
I feel terrible. I have a reputation as a punk hater. I have a reputation. I should have a reputation as a Phil Brooks hater. I love CM Punk.
Oh, wow.
So I started watching wrestling again, similar to Danielle. I got back in sort of late 2000s, so 2007, 2006, 2007, 2008. Probably 2007, 2008. And then when I moved to the States in 2009, I like was fully back in because I'm like, I don't know anyone here. Wrestling is my friend. And on all the fucking time, it turns out, in this country, of which I'm now a proud citizen. But he was one of the big draws for me. Like, I loved Straight Edge Society. Once the pipe bomb stuff started, like, I was just smitten. I had all the shirts. I loved me some Heyman. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing worked for me. And I just genuinely, for me, he is my gateway back in. So it's not even anything as specific as a moment. But to me, he just represented everything I loved about it when I came back. I was like, oh my God, he's just this incredible character I've never seen before. And I loved that. Although, yeah, I did get to see his butt at Survivor Series 2011. Thank you, Alberto. The only thing I will ever say thank you to you for. But that was pretty sweet.
Daria gives and he takes.
Yeah.
Gives and he takes.
All right, well, let's jump in. CM Punk made his name in the mid-90s wrestling guys like Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, Bryan Danielson, and others. Perhaps most famous as one of the first faces of Ring of Honor. I've seen a little bit of this stuff. Some of it from just looking on YouTube, some of it from the Best in the World documentary that WWE produced, where
I have that on DVD,
like,
you guys. That's how much I loved him. Yeah. I have that on DVD.
All right, we believe you.
It's a good documentary.
It's a great documentary.
He's very sad in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that's what I like about more white boys, you know?
Make them sad.
The same.
Get them real
sad. With tattoos, doing something they hate. That's my favorite kind. Yeah.
You're both way more versed outside of WWE than I am. How aware of him were you during this time?
Again, that was like, I was checked out of all of wrestling.
You were already out.
That was my off season.
Well,
so
then we can just move right ahead.
Come back to that.
He made his debut in the WWE system in 2006, first with OVW, where he was put under the wing of Paul Heyman and learned how to produce television and a lot of things. He got interested in a lot of aspects of
And like, speaking of Sean Spears, I think
don't.
That was around the time Sean Spears was also in OVW.
He is not a baby.
He was in OVW.
That was around the time people pretended that they liked Sean Spears, huh?
Mm. Yeah.
That was back then.
The locker room loves him. The locker room loved him. Like, that's why
he's a comedian's comedian.
He's a comedian's comedian.
Wrestler's
a
wrestler.
Over with the boys, you know.
He's over with
that
the boys.
That hair, man. He had to get married with that hair.
Well, when CM Punk was brought up, it was the rebooted ECW brand, and this is his first televised promo ever.
That didn't work for me at all. Not the promo, but the.
Don't let these tattoos fool you.
I do every time.
I'm straight edge. I'm a man of great discipline. I don't drink.
Yeah.
I don't smoke.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs.
Which drugs?
Yeah.
My addiction is wrestling.
You know, in hindsight, this is really
my obsession is competition.
This is so bogus.
Discipline.
Well, it's supposed to be.
My name.
Yeah. I mean, now they would just make him a vegan. And be like, now I'm a vegan.
Well, he was like a baby face at the time during his debut. He
and
was
that's
like,
tedious.
He was kind of supposed to be Paul Heyman's choice as like, this is going to be the new face.
Look,
of ECW.
We all made a lot of mistakes in the late 2000s.
And he also
2000s.
Came in, he thought he needed to gain weight, so he was like bigger and uncomfortable.
He was like way bigger, yeah.
It was,
but he doesn't do drugs, so it was just mass and not like.
That's the wrong way to do it.
My
Everyone
only
knows.
Addiction is protein shakes.
Protein
that
shakes.
And I think he was vegan for a while. Wasn't he?
Probably.
Yes,
he was.
A vegetarian.
Yeah. He was wrestling guys like Chavo Guerrero and John Morrison during this time.
Great, great for him.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of knew at this point he was kind of a victim of Paul Heyman liking him too much.
No, so, that doesn't go well unless your name begins with Mesna.
Yeah, it's hard when you're like small, and he's like little, like for wrestling, he's not small for people.
No, but he's
but
a little guy.
But for wrestling, he is pocket sized.
Yeah, and to quote our good friend Paul Levesque, he's skinny fat.
Yeah.
So he did not.
Well, again,
cut it
it's really hard to like bulk and then cut when you're not taking the druggy drugs. It's like not.
That's, as I understand it, allegedly never been a concern for our friend Paul Levesque. Allegedly.
He moves to Raw in 2008. His first big break is winning Money in the Bank, and he then cashes it in on Edge for his first ever world championship, which led to a totally mediocre reign where he was constantly in the middle of the card, didn't even have a match to lose the title. Randy just punted him in the head, left him unable to compete in that night's title match.
Boy, CM Punk and Kofi both, like, every their big opportunities really showcase themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope, get out this match.
Well, he had a number of, like, these false starts, but still along the way, he's picking up gold. He wins more tag titles. He wins IC titles. Wins Money in the Bank again in 2009. But this time, you know, this is the story time and again with those wrestlers. They're brought in as a face. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. At best, they're given the, you know, look, to win the world title, let's not take that away from him. Even if it was a crappy run, still means something to be given that title. It is a position of prestige mm-hmm. that they gave him. Still doesn't reach the heights he's going to reach when he becomes a heel.
It's kind of because, like, if you think about it, this was around the time when WWE first started doing the thing where both world titles were going to be on both shows.
Right.
Right.
And you had, like, the world title, me and my friends like to call it the super intercontinental title. It was like, this is don't you know how important this title is? And it really didn't reflect in how you were presented on the TV, because John Cena is the WWE championship and we all know where the main event is going to go. So
right
is what it is.
Well, he in 2009 he wins the Money in the Bank briefcase again, first two-time winner. Then he cashes in on Jeff Hardy, which sets in motion his very first heel run. He finally uses Straight Edge as a weapon, and he does
as it should always have been.
Here are how his promo sounded at this time.
What you need is a leader. You need a strong leader who's going to stand up in the face of adversity and just say no. You need a strong leader that's going to carry the banner of the World Heavyweight Championship with honor, with pride, respect, dignity, integrity, and class. What you people need is a straight-edged world heavyweight champion. You need CM Punk.
The thing is, I know Punk came off as kind of an asshole in all of this, but this was around the time...
Do you want to know why?
Well, but this was around the time that Jeff was, like, just got suspended for more drug stuff. He was, like, it was happening a lot.
And it was a great program.
He was the champion at the time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this was kind of an interesting social experiment because there was nothing objectively wrong with what Punk was saying. Like, don't do drugs because look at what's happening to Jeff. It's derailing his career. And then people still booed him for it. So I always was kind of like, I think he's got a freaking point.
This is one of those ones where it's like you take someone's real life stuff and then you make it part of the show. And like, is that right? Is that wrong? But like, don't forget that like it's not too long after that when Jeff goes to TNA and then he does that match against Sting at Victory Road in 2011.
It was really sad to watch.
It was really sad.
And I think that that's one of the reasons people reacted so strongly to Punk at the time, because they loved Jeff and they didn't want to see what they were seeing, you know? So it's like, this is a real difficult thing. It wasn't...
Yeah, him being straight edge and railing at people, that is a natural heel thing. I think that's
great.
To
be straight edge and railing at their hero is like, that's going to pull a reaction.
And especially doing it with someone who you know has real life problems. And when those two things convert, there's only so much real we like in our wrestling. If we know that someone is having like real life... Like if someone was to suddenly like... go off on the Usos about all of their like DUIs.
We would not enjoy that.
Yeah, we would be like, yo, like let them work their stuff out. Like, don't do that, you know? Yeah.
Well, and also people forget, like people who are just fans right now, they forget, they might have not know. Jeff Hardy was so over at this point. He was incredibly popular.
Yeah.
I went back and watched a lot of things that happened at, like around this time. I forgot how popular Jeff Hardy was because so many signs, so many kids dressing up as him with the armbands and stuff. He was so popular.
But this is when he just slipped away, you know? Like that was, they had to. They had no choice. You couldn't give him the fanfare for him to leave because things were such a mess.
And again, that I hesitate to even say watch it because there's nothing really to watch, but that Victory Road main event from 2011 was so, it's so heartbreaking to watch and so painful.
But if you want to see something was actually pretty great. Was okay. So I don't think I put it there, but this story culminated in a loser leaves WWE match where Punk won it because he escaped the cage first. Jeff Hardy comes out, gives this heartfelt promo about how he was like sad to leave the fans, but he'll be back one day. Blah blah blah. And as he's doing his big goodbye, Punk actually comes out and decks him with the title and leaves him on his back on the stage and celebrates one last time.
Well, to be fair, you do leave on your back, but like, ouch.
Yeah, but it was pretty. I was like, what a. An awful heel thing to do. But then the next week, Jeff Hardy's music hits and out comes what you think is Jeff Hardy, but really it's just Punk doing the Jeff Hardy juke.
He does that.
Jeff
That's
Hardy
the thing
cosplay.
He did. I mean, he did it that to The Undertaker, so too, when they had that program.
Yeah, so good. Really great
it's
stuff.
It's great.
Well, you know, look, a great heel, part of it is denying the audience what they want.
Yes. Yep.
Which,
he's edging
again,
the audience.
Go, just
well,
to
yeah,
go back
and that's
to...
when, like, that's, Dolph did that, but unfortunately that gimmick lasted too long where he would come out to someone else's music and then do the, and he didn't commit, and I don't know if that was him or if that was WWE.
But even beyond that, like, in within a match, the Battle Royal that happened this past Wednesday on AEW, I think three different times MJF broke up. Like, he, Orange Cassidy takes his hands out of his pockets, the crowd goes nuts, he gets tossed by MJ. Like, he built that match was just him ruining what the audience wanted at any given moment.
Is anyone
going to
talk, I'm sorry, we have not discussed what we're all putting over. Is anyone going to put over that one moment from that match?
I thought we went.
We might not put things over just because we're out of time.
Okay, well then, I'm sorry, 2 seconds, Sunny Kiss, cheeks clapping. Also, another quick thing that I really liked. I don't
Stop
care.
Stop putting things over in the middle of this segment.
It's going to be really quick. I promise it's quick.
If it's from Twitter,
it's
I'm throwing that phone in the
Twitter.
Garbage.
It's from Twitter. It's from, I like the Dark Order Scientology commercials, okay? Done.
Okay. Wait, I'm
Suck
lost.
It.
Hold on. all right. Getting back to CM Punk. The straight edge keeps going. He forms a straight edge society with Luke Gallows, Joey Mercury, and Serena, where everybody's getting their head shaved, and he becomes this sort of cult
Hell
leader.
Hell of a time.
Yeah, great run in the Royal Rumble that year where he would eliminate someone and then just talk in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, also CM Punk is really good at something he always talks about, like every time he does like a new version of himself, because he considers every new heel version of himself, every new face version of himself to be a new person. And he actually does the work and he's like, this is what I think a heel looks like. A heel looks like, you know, an 80s villain, so I'm going to shave my sides. Here's what a face looks like. Like, he actually does the work to, like, change his presentation.
He did the Wolverine chops on purpose.
Yep.
The Charles Manson / like Christ-like figure hair when he was
exactly.
The
he's talked about it.
So
it's so
good.
Smart. It's like, he's a really clever guy.
Yeah.
Even with all this stuff, which was over with the audience, he's getting frustrated because he doesn't feel like he's reaching his full potential. And that leads him to announce that he's leaving WWE on July 17th, 2011. But he only plans on leaving after he's beaten John Cena for the WWE Championship. Of course, we've already talked about it at the beginning of the segment. That leads to one of the most famous promos of all time, the Pipe Bomb.
The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company.
And
I'm
we
just
did.
A spoke on the wheel.
That's true.
The wheel is going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself.
So
he's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical... Yes, man.
Not on track.
Laurinaitis is going to tell him everything that he
because
wants
he spent $100 billion
like
on the XFL.
That maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law
also
and the rest of his stupid family.
It's fun.
Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon. All right? Can we do this whole bully camp?
They turned his mic
so
off.
Good. Yeah, so wonderful.
Very, very well done.
The conviction in his voice, just everything that he delivered that
because
way.
Because it was all true.
And that's every time they try to be like, oh, they just dropped a pipe bomb. Shut up.
Oh, God, yeah.
Please don't ever do it again.
One thing, like, I know that Colt Cabana podcast is a little tainted now that we know what happened in the aftermath.
But at the time.
Yes, but at the time when he said.
I still go back and listen to it. Like, there's a lot of salty podcasts I still go back and listen to. I should do my top five sometime.
When he says, like, that he just grew to resent the phrase pipe bomb because it just became like every time he cut a promo, it was like, I'm going to drop a pipe bomb. Pipe bomb, pipe bomb. It just like shows what could happen when they take something that was organic and good and they just throw capitalism at it and ruin it. And just, ugh.
That's what capitalism does.
That's literally all the things. Yeah. That's all of the things.
Yeah.
Just to give you some context on what was happening here, Punk was legitimately going to leave, but signed a new deal the day of the pay-per-view. He, of course, wins the match and then exits through the crowd at the TD. It's the TD Garden. Well, no, it was in Chicago.
It was in Chicago.
He won. He left. Shocked the audience. Everybody assumed John Cena was winning because he was on his way out. But he signs the new deal. Swerves us all. Is he working the boys? Who knows? But he came back just over a week later, getting played out to Cult of Personality for the first time. Is
as
that
everything
too soon?
Should be.
Do you think they should have waited to bring him back?
It worked. Like, at the time, it worked. Yeah. It worked for me.
Yeah, it was. That's the thing. It's like, you can say, sure, like, drag it out, but ultimately it was proven to work. So
I also, like, I hate, because what you drag it out, but then what happens is they wind up, like, teasing it and like doing,
they would have had to tease it.
They do
can't
dumb
just
shit with
it.
Yeah, it couldn't just be like he left and then came back. It would have been like, oh, well, there's rumors, or oh, who's that person in the crowd, or like, oh, whatever. And it would have diluted it and been shitty anyway. I think
and
it's better for him
to
just come back,
build
than
a storyline that would make it messy as to what they're going to do about the championship void. Like, they can't, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and so does Vince McMahon. They couldn't just be like, oh, we just don't have a champion now. They would have had to set up that week. They would have had to have like a number one contender battle.
Yeah,
it
was
like,
messy. Well,
they did have like a story coming out of it. It was supposed to be after Punk left, they were going to do a tournament. And Rey Mysterio won that tournament, and poor Rey Mysterio was the champion
shafted
for exactly an hour before John Cena beat him that same night. So that was, to me, that's why I felt like they shouldn't have brought him back, because I felt like they were trying to cram 2 to 3 weeks of television into one episode,
which is
Raw,
why
which
they
is why
should have just bring him back and don't do that stuff.
I also, like,
you would have still been mad about how Rey Mysterio got treated.
Look,
no. If Rey was champion for like 2 weeks and then he lost it at, like, I think SummerSlam was the next pay per view, I think I would have been fine with that.
I would rather them cram 2 to 3 weeks worth of wrestling into one Raw instead of, because 2 to 3 weeks worth of wrestling in a Raw is like a month worth of wrestling for normal things.
Yeah.
Like 2 to 3 weeks of that's just normal storytelling. That's not like, because it moves so slow. It's glacial, y'all.
Yeah.
But I guess my thing was that there were cool things that were happening, and I was like, you're just got, like, let me focus on one of the cool things.
What Julian's trying to tell you,
I love what
he
plants.
Was annoyed.
I love what
he put
plants
it in the
things,
script,
because yeah.
he wanted us to
I
agree
love when
with
you
it.
Put in questions like that, as if I'm asking.
Oh, they're leading.
Really is.
No, Julian always puts in leading questions.
In answer to your question, Al, no, Danielle and I did not think it was a problem.
I'm going
to
start, every time there's a leading question, I'm going to get lawyer on this.
Let me do a reread of that. Punk came back just over a week later, getting played out the Cult of Personality for the first time. Does Julian think he was brought back too soon?
You're goddamn right.
From there,
and
Punk,
he is correct.
That's right. Punk started, by the way, the day of the pipe bomb. He was still a heel, then became a face, and he embarks on a 434 day long WWE Championship run. And I love the story of this, that he moves on to being a Paul Heyman led heel, but it's because he will do anything to keep his title.
Right.
At a certain point, he turns to the dark side to keep what he treasures the most, which is a really good little bit of storytelling, and it's a really great evolution. Mm. And having two great talkers together where he doesn't need a mouthpiece, but they somehow each enhance the other. Mm. I think a lot of times if you put two people together that have the exact same skill, then it doesn't become complementary. It just becomes sort of an overlap.
Well, and also, like, it becomes a competition. Like, I can talk better than you. I can talk better than you, instead of two people working together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, and this is something I will say, like, I read Stroud's column, and I agree with him. One thing that Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho did very well this week, where it didn't feel like it was a competition of promos, it felt like it was, like, Jericho using his promo skills to assist Scorpio Sky. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So he eventually loses the title to The Rock at the Royal Rumble before WrestleMania 29.
Mm. Also, do want to just give a shout out to Jericho Punk, because I loved that storyline.
That was great.
Oh, yeah, who's the best in the world?
He was pouring booze on him and
CM
like,
drunk afterwards.
CM drunk, but like drunky Jericho. Drunk is Jericho. I don't think this is appropriate, but
drunk is Jericho,
oh,
baby.
When they had drunk is me. When they had the video of him coming out the pub, it's like, oh, he's a lush now. He was in a pub. He was eating fish and chips, Chris.
So
I loved that whole storyline. That was so
it was
great.
So
apart
funny.
From like
great.
Right at the end of that one match that they had where Jericho like patted him on the shoulder and was like, good work, son. And then like we weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah.
But it was also beautiful. Yeah.
Or when
I
Jericho
loved that
slipped when he was trying to bash him in the face with a bottle, he spilled too
loved
much
it.
On the ground.
Loved it. Loved the whole thing. Didn't love when he kept calling him a bastard. That was pretty funny.
That's,
I was like,
yeah.
Your mom and dad weren't married. You're a bastard. But it was like, oh, he's the most Canadian he's ever been. It made me so happy.
Yeah. I mean, that happens in the U.S. all the time. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, like, is that still a big deal up there?
Yeah, like heritage doesn't matter at all.
Rat row. I loved it.
I'm sorry, I don't get to inherit the lordship. Like, I don't get to take over all of the lands because I'm not officially my father's son.
Just as a bonus, I really enjoyed his match with The Undertaker.
It's fucking great.
Part of the streak. Fantastic match.
I'm furious that it ruined the women's match that WrestleMania.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And also,
yeah,
I was there, and it was very cold, and I would have liked to have gone home sooner.
The last match that extended the streak. It was the that was 21-0.
It was amazing.
Also known as Redacted.
Yeah. Womp, womp, womp.
Every time they show the caskets, guess who's they don't really show? They're like, oh, look at all of these people he beat. Not this one. Look at all of these people.
So CM Punk had one last run as a babyface in 2013, taking on Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar after Paul Heyman betrayed him. But he left abruptly after the 2014 Royal Rumble. That was his last appearance on WWE programming. He stayed away from wrestling, in fact, entirely after that. He settled a lawsuit with a WWE doctor, settled another one with former best friend Colt Cabana, lost two UFC fights.
Okay, you said after the 2014 Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay,
we're just doing a quick rundown.
Because I saw one of his last times in the ring when I was in Seattle.
Yes. He wrote some comic books, all before being hired by Fox as a WWE analyst earlier this month.
I don't know if anyone knows the answer to this question, but has Christian been booted? Fulfill?
No, I think that they're going to be alternating days.
Okay, good. Because yeah. I was really upset.
Because that would make me really bummed.
I was really upset.
Christian deserves.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not cool.
Yeah, Christian deserves.
I'm enjoying having him involved again. It's fun to see him on TV. It's fun to see him enjoying himself.
I like that he's with Fox because, like, they're clearly letting him do stuff that I think WWE wouldn't.
I'm willing to entertain it. I try not to dig too deep.
No, well, here's the thing.
He's definitely with Fox.
I mean, he's saying the deal is with Fox. Renee said her deal was with Fox on this. I'm sure it is. But I imagine it's still got WWE production.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Right? I'm sure Kevin Dunn's still got a finger in the pie. That's
his
favorite thing to do.
About how often he says, I don't work for WWE. That tells me if he were to ever return to the ring, which I don't take this as a sign that he definitely will. I take this to a sign that he won't definitely not do it.
Yeah, I don't look. I just again, like I said, like it's the in ring was never what we liked about him. We liked the talking, and now we're getting all the stuff that we like about it.
I like him in the ring maybe a little more than you do.
Maybe because some of them go to sleeps are ghastly.
Just to finish,
like he's always mad about it.
Right,
Paul Kenta.
Just to finish what I was saying, that the when every time he says, "I don't work for WWE." It's just setting up the moment he appears on TV and says,
no
I work for them now.
That he will.
Just feel
that.
Royal Rumble or something.
I think what it will be, if it's Rumble or Mania, and I would 100% see it being Mania because they are going to pay him all the money on earth to get people down to Florida next year because no one wants to go to Florida.
I don't.
The orange racist.
I thought about going, but I'm not going.
No,
not in Florida.
But that would be a draw for a lot of people who wouldn't otherwise go, especially if Seth is obviously trying to warm him up for a match that's been announced today. Seth has said, like, fight me in the ring.
A million times over the past, like, 2 weeks.
And I think Mania is the natural thing for it. And I just think when he left and it was so bitter and so sour, and it's not my issue that he has that concern with the company because absolutely the company is not a good place and they deserve a lot more business from a lot of people. I just think it really outed him, and then his behavior over the next few years, personal conduct, just really outed him as not a good person.
Yeah, for me, it's not that him leaving WWE, like leave WWE, like leave them if they're being shitty to you, leave any company if they're not treating you well. Again, I love CM Punk. I don't know from Phil Brooks, but like that stuff with Colt Cabana breaks my heart.
But also all of the wrestlers who he just cut dead, who said, you know, how many wrestlers have said, oh, I genuinely thought we were friends and now he just won't take my calls, or like now he just literally just pretended I don't exist.
And not even in, like, people aren't trying to use him to get over.
No.
They're just literally like, dude, we were buds. Like,
and
I
people
just called,
had said,
I texted to
they
check
to
in
see
on
if
you.
He was okay. Yeah. And he was just like, don't call me again. And it's like, well, that's kind of rough. That's kind of difficult. I would not be surprised in the slightest if he ended up back in the ring. It's like, you can say 1,000 times over, I will never end up back in the WWE ring. All he will do is reframe the narrative so that it suits him, so that it fits his personality. He's like, I'm here because I'm here to tell the truth. You're here to tell what you're told to say.
Well, and like,
you've been told to say, be the voice of.
I think that's,
you know,
the thing is that, like, I get your money. I never fault the wrestlers for whatever, for getting their money.
Everyone gets paid.
But if your brand, aside from wrestling, because we all know that's a work, but if your own personal brand, which we all know is a work, also is, I am the honest one, I tell the truth, and this is who I am as a person. And that is what you sell yourself on. And then you go back and do this. It's like, okay, well, if that's your brand, you're damaging your brand.
Yeah. Tout it out.
Tout.
Damn it.
He was one of the original spokespeople for Tout. Go back and watch that first promo.
It's time. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me. Also Danielle Radford, according to the script. Anyone else?
Everyone's Danielle Radford.
You know, listen to We Got This. It is that time of year. Go buy our merchandise, and We Got This merchandise, a new We Had This onesie, available at MaxFunStore.com. Buy everything that you hear my voice in. Buy merchandise for it. Just do that, and tell them that I sent you, for God's sakes. Danielle?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi. I've got episodes of The Red String coming up. We might be changing the name because there's like also a popular anime that's named that, and so it's making SEO really confusing. I'll be linking to those on the Amazon Prime Video channel. And I think that's other, you know, watch honest trailers. That's how I get paid.
Yeah.
If you are in Seattle, I think if everything goes right, I think I'm going to actually go home for Thanksgiving. I think so. I think I'm going to go home for Thanksgiving. And if I am, I have tickets. I'm going to go to Defy. So if you see me at Defy watching some wrestles, come say hi or whatever.
Yeah.
Yay.
Lindsay Kelk.
Buy my books, please. Books make great gifts.
Thank you.
It's the season. Yeah. To buy books for people you love,
please.
Including yourself. Self-care is
important.
Buying a book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you really want to talk to your family for the whole holidays? No. You want to say, oh, I would love to chat with you, Uncle.
Sorry, I'm reading.
But I do have to finish this book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Julian, I can't believe you thought I didn't know how to pronounce this name. How dare you?
I'm used to like the ESPN commentators not knowing how to pronounce it. So,
our producer, Julian Burrell, says thank you to Tua Tagovailoa for the memories. And nothing for Jalen Hurts. Senior producer of Maximum Fun.
It's because Tua's hurt. Jalen can still play football. So.
Uh-huh. Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all of your friends. Thank you so much, in particular, to the Maximum Fund members who have a portion of the recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on while we're in here. We'll be back next week with a wrap-up of Survivor Series and nothing else.
Literally nothing else.
Bye.
Bye.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.